Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. I don't want to discriminate bad people. I love everyone who want to learn more about digital marketing, about AI, about SEO, social media, and how to get traffic and sales. Today, especially, it's very important in the AI era when many things are changing so fast. I'm so excited to discuss all these topics with Brandon Leibovitz. How are you?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk about SEO and AI and all the digital changes that are going on.
Yeah, big pleasure to get you back. We spoke over a year ago, but many things changed since then. So excited to learn more about how to adapt, especially today. And I know about your extended experience. You provided a lot of valuable bombs that I've learned myself, but tell for new listeners about your background, experience, and anything that could help to learn more about you.
My name is Brandon Leibovitz, and I got involved with digital marketing back in 2007 after I graduated from university. My first job was doing digital marketing, which I didn't know much about it. They didn't really teach you that in school. I told the company that, and they said, don't worry, we're new to this as well. We're going to learn with you and take you to different workshops and seminars and different events. And after doing that for a few months, I realized everyone's most likely going to have a website in the future. This is back in 2007. And I saw SEO as a way to get free traffic and thought, who doesn't want free traffic? Google Ads, social media, it all works, but SEO was just free visibility. And I focused more on that over the years, working at different advertising agencies as a director of SEO, and before work, after work, and on my lunch breaks, I'd work on my own company, and eventually built that up to where I was able to quit my job and been doing this ever since, just helping people really tap into that free traffic from Google or AI or wherever people are searching.
Yeah, nice, nice. By the way, I want to share my opinion, interesting your thoughts about that. So I think for me, it's not a good idea today to go to college to get any education about marketing. If you want to become a doctor, yeah, probably it's a must have. But if we speak about marketing, everything depends on practice. You can learn a lot of stuff, bunch of stuff. But if you don't make your hands dirty, it's tough to get any result. For example, as you, I didn't get any marketing education. I got high degree in finance, but when I switched my attention in 2008 to digital space, I learned everything myself. Today, especially when you have ChatGPT, Google, YouTube, you can learn everything. And the most important element, practice. You can learn, but if you do nothing, you get nothing. It's not about to get more skills. It's more about to practice and test them. What do you think about someone who wanna get this education? Is it a good idea to go to college to get marketing education or not? Your thoughts
about that? Didn't really teach me much in 2007 about digital marketing. They'll teach you more traditional marketing and things like that, or finance, accounting, how to operations and how to hire and fire and stuff like that. But in terms of digital, they didn't really know much about it, but also it's so dynamic. So if you did have a book written about it next year or next month or tomorrow, it could be outdated and it just changes so quickly that it's tough to stay on top of it unless you're actively changing and testing and seeing what works and what doesn't work. But for digital, you really just gotta, like you said, go in and start playing around, build a website, see if you can rank it, work on your social, see how you can grow them. And that's going to be proof in your experience that you know what you're doing and that things are working and are getting more traffic and getting more visibility.
Yeah. And for me, it's better today to read more books about marketing than digital marketing or SEO, because things are changing fast. But if you learn human psychology, why people buy, why they make any actions, you can adapt to any algorithm, because when we optimized like 10 years ago to content in building today, I usually optimize for UX, customer experience, many other insights. If we build brand recognition, we don't do it for the sake of having links. We just build real links that can bring this recognition, relevant traffic, or even when people can see your website at any places, it can help a lot. So for me, the time optimizing for algo can become obsolete. It's my opinion. You can share your perspective about that. And I think today it's a good time. It's the best time ever when you can start learning about humans and create everything for humans, bring value for humans, bring something new, unique for humans, not for search engines. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, you gotta get that balance. I mean, you want search engines to trust you and to rank you, but getting traffic is just step one. A lot of people just think once I get traffic, everything's going to work out. But getting people to convert is actually much more difficult because people are not robots. And Google and ChatGPT and all these LLMs are just robots. And you send the right signals, they're going to trust you. But people, they have emotions. And that's much different and requires a lot more, like you said, psychology, but understanding what people are looking for and trying to connect with them, having good landing pages, optimizing above the fold with your value proposition and benefits and your call to action and testimonials, and just trying to make it easy to convert. But then you got to study the human mind and really understand what's going to resonate with each person. That might mean you have to make multiple pages targeting different audiences, because someone looking for you for example, you might be a roofer and you might be fixing roofs for residential and commercial. And you want to separate those out to really resonate and hone in on someone looking for residential. What's the roof going to do? It's going to give them peace of mind. It's going to keep their family safe and warm. But commercial, you got to talk more psychologically about the building and how it's going to keep the building strong and require less maintenance. But you have to look at all that stuff. And a lot of people just look at digital marketing books, which is how I started. But now, like you're saying, you gotta shift over to like Dan Kennedy and understanding like the psychology of what's gonna get people to buy, because digital is changing constantly. But the way people buy and the way people shop is gonna stay kind of constant. It may change platforms, but in general, the same methodology is gonna be in place.
Yeah, people steal people. I want to ask about focusing. When I started my digital journey, probably I did everything. So I wrote content, created content plan, published, provided link building campaigns. I used one simple method to buy more backlinks than my competitors had. That worked well on that time. Today it's obsolete. I don't do this anymore, but I did it because I didn't know how to get backlinks when you can pay and get them. For example, if my competitors had 100 backlinks, I just bought 200 backlinks and ranked well. But today it's obsolete. Google can recognize it, and link building is really hard. But at that time, I had a team of jack of all trades who did everything. So I gave them project. They could write content, submit, promote, share, everything. Today, it's tough to get results like that. Probably impossible, because it's important to focus on one specific niche. And I know some great link builders who can earn like $1 million by focusing on one specific link building. They ignore the rest. I know some PR specialists who can earn crazy money, but they do just PR, nothing else. So what do you think about focusing? How it's important today to choose the right direction and how to find this direction?
Right. No, it's best to, you don't want to spread yourself too thin and try to do everything, but because then you're going to lose time on learning that one area of expertise where you could really hone in. Like I did SEO, I was doing Google Ads, social media, doing email marketing back in 2007, doing it all. I still do it all today, but I really focused on the years over on SEO because let me really focus on how to get that traffic, how to figure out how Google works and how these different search engines are working and really honing in on that, versus when I try to learn SEO and social media, then I can only dedicate half my time to one, half my time to the other, and I'm not going to really be able to go all in and get that expertise. So once I've figured out SEO, I mean, it's always changing, you know, figure it out. But once I figure out a good strategy in terms of building good quality backlinks, sending the right signals, building the right entities, then I could start looking at, all right, now how do I follow up with people and start looking at remarketing or trying to run some other ads that could help with the more holistic type of view of business. But you literally do need to narrow down and niche down. If you try to be the one-stop shop for everybody, it's going to be really tough. And because you're now dealing with a lot of bigger players, bigger competitors, and if you're just a startup or a medium-sized business, you could compete with them, but it's going to be very difficult compared to if you're going after like-sized businesses. And that's where narrowing it down and find something that maybe you're even passionate about that's going to keep you engaged and hooked more. And really then you could speak more emotionally to resonate with people, because now people could see that you really have a great interest in this versus just doing something to make money.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to do anything for earning money. Of course, I love money, you know, it's important to have money, but I see it's a big trap for someone who see when someone can earn money and go to this niche and do totally the same. You can't earn like that, you know. You need to focus on your strong side, to find something where you are passionate about, and it's more about to outwork others. For example, if average people can work like 8 hours a day, if you love it, you can work 10 hours, 12 hours. I can work on Sunday evening, on Saturday night, because I love it, you know. So it's my hobby. My job is my hobby, and I see when big websites invest to different projects they don't understand and fail. For example, like Google did with Google Plus, failed. And I remember when Neil Patel said about that, when he bought website about poker and tried to earn money, but he failed because he didn't play poker. He doesn't understand this game. Million people can play on that, and he tried to teach them how to play poker without having the skills. So if you want to do anything, you need to understand, you need to love it. Because I often see when people work hard but burn out because they don't love it. You know, it's not, for example, I can play basketball, ping pong, any other sport without waiting when someone will pay money for that. Even more, I need to pay for some trauma, you know, to go to doctors if I get it. But I still do it because I love it. It's not about money. It's more about passion. I agree. It's not about earning money. Money can come. It doesn't matter. Money, you will get any money if you work hard in something that you truly love. Brandon, can you tell what is your strong side in SEO? For example, SEO is big. It's really huge. It's not like 15 years ago when you could do everything. But today you need to focus. So where do you focus?
Well, I try to focus on good on-page SEO, but also you have to work off backlinks. SEO, I feel like you have to do everything. If you just work on one aspect of it, you'll get some traction, but you really need to work on making sure all the technical is in place, from title tags and schema and headers and interlinking your pages together. But you also need to send those third-party trust signals from backlinks, whether it's from writing blogs or guest podcasting or sponsoring events or trade shows or reverse engineering competitors' backlinks. But those are the, and then for your local business, helping out with Google Business Profile. Those are, I guess, the three areas I really focus on is local, on-page, technical SEO, and then those that backlinks, those entity building, because you're not building trust with Google, or the LLMs are going to skip over you and look at the next website, and we don't want that to happen. But
yeah. Awesome. Okay, I want to speak more about on-page SEO and especially about content creation. I cooperated for a long time with a team of writers, different writers. I hired them on Upwork, many other places. I had them in my team. But in 2019, many things changed. When EAT appeal then was updated to EEAT. If someone doesn't know, it's expertise, experience, authority, trust. And Google can consider this signal to measure or analyze your content, to score your content. And after that, I started to cooperate with experts. For example, I love GPT. I use GPT. But if you ask me to generate any article about, let's imagine, weight loss, health, anything like that, I can't. I can't because I'm not an expert on that, even when I lost my weight. But that was personal experience. I can't teach others. If you ask me to generate any article about digital marketing SEO, I can, because I work on this niche. I know how to write prompts. I can analyze the quality of content. And even more, I work every single day on this niche, so I can feel that I can bring something new to the table. And the second important element that I found, you need to have a writing background. For example, I cooperated with a big accounting company in the US, and most specialists on this company had plus 20 years experience. A lot of experience, but they didn't have writing experience. So they know everything, but they can't write. Even when they try to use GPT, they couldn't produce any quality. So for me, an expert should have writing background. Can you tell your methods about on-page SEO? Okay, let's start with content creation and we can touch a little bit technical optimization. But can you tell how you find specialists who can create great content, especially in the AI era?
Yeah, no, it's tough to find writers that actually write, because it seems like every writer is just using AI and then sending you over content. I mean, I still have writers. I have used, like you said, I had a team of writers in the past and I would use them all the time. I prefer human writers, but when like 80% of your writers are using ChatGPT and then just sending you the content and saying, here's an article I wrote, and charging you $50 or $100, it's not really worthwhile. So I've been working on trying to find subject matter experts, find people that are really passionate about writing. Like I have a college professor and some teachers where I know they're not using AI. But other than that, it's so tough to find good writers. And Google said, we don't care who writes the content anymore, AI or not. So you can use AI. It's not accurate. And that's the biggest thing, is it has to be accurate. So I like to use AI to just start with the outline and build out the content to give to someone that is really a subject matter expert to then say, all right, let's keep this here. Let's take this out because this doesn't make sense. But it is very difficult nowadays. Unfortunately, I feel like everyone is using, not everyone, but majority of the people are using ChatGPT and are going to keep using it. But you need to edit it and you need to double and triple check all that content. So, because if you just copy and paste it onto your website, it's not going to be accurate.
Yeah.
And finding specialists like Upwork, Freelancer, Craigslist, going around different directories and just trying to build relationships with different, or LinkedIn is a way to find writers. But it is difficult to find people that don't want to use AI nowadays. It's so tricky.
Yeah. And, let me add how I usually do it. I mean, like, because I cooperate with many experts in specific niches. So, and personally, I don't care if they use AI or not. So even more, I tell them, use it. Of course, use ChatGPT, use Grok, Claude. It doesn't matter. If it can help you to create high quality content, okay, use it. But users don't ask if it's AI or human written. They wanna get quality if it's valuable. So if ChatGPT can produce quality content because someone can drive this tool to get this quality, why not? So and according to latest data that I found online, that AI content even ranks better than human written content. So it's a big signal, by the way, because all experts today, most experts can use AI. And I use one approach to find experts. Basically, we find a list of blogs for specific niches. For example, if we promote trading niche, so we go to Investopedia, FX Street, big websites, Bloomberg. So we find all offers who can post content there. Then we check out if these offers get organic reach. So if you open any profile, you can find latest articles from these offers. You can check out if they have organic reach. And when I see people have organic reach, I don't care. They use AI or not. I know they know how to write. So I reach out to them, and most of them are not looking for a job like on Upwork. They are looking for passive income. They want to get extra money. And when I give them task, okay, look at, so I have this content plan. Please help me with that. And yeah, we have results. I cooperate with experts. And I never tell them, don't use AI. Of course, use. Of course, if it can help you to bring quality. But you can do it for an hour or for 20 hours. It's your job. I need just to get quality. And we have a good question from Adisei. Can you help him? How to master the usage of tools and features across different search engines and digital marketing channels is bigger without any background. What do you think about that?
The usage of tools?
Yeah. How to learn tools without having background of using these tools.
You need to use tools to help out with SEO for keyword research, for backlinks. If you don't know how to use those tools, they have great training support. I put a lot of videos out on YouTube about how to use those, some tools, not every tool. There's too many tools out there. But if you're not using tools and just going in it manually, it's going to take a lot of time and it's going to make, and time is invaluable, especially when you can automate some of that with keyword research from the Google Keyword Planner or Ahrefs or Moz or SEMrush or just any tool that's going to help show you the search volume. And then if you don't understand how to read that, you could upload to ChatGPT and ask it to give you some feedback on how to use these tools, but they're so important. Like Surfer SEO is a great tool to help analyze your competitors' content, how much text they're writing, what keywords they're utilizing, because we want to try to figure out what your competition is doing and try to do a better job of it.
Yeah. And just want to add a little bit more. I just say, please choose one tool, dive deep. I will share the link to Brandon's account. You can learn from his videos, but start with one tool. Learn. When you feel confidence, you can try another one. Don't try to learn all tools that you have. A lot of tools there, but if you focus on specific tool, you can feel that you are almost expert or close to expert, then yeah, you can go to another tool. We have one more question. It's a very important question, by the way. I want to ask this question as well about AI content for blog. What do you think about today? Because, you know, we use this strategy for a long time. And according to data, plus 50% of all traffic are coming to blog content. That is why almost all websites have blogs. They post content in order to cover sales funnel and lead in the right direction. But what about the future? You know, because today AI overview, ChatGPT can reply to these questions and can steal this funnel. And you mentioned about volume in keyword research. I checked, we analyzed this data and we checked which metrics are the most popular in SEO, and volume has the first place. You know, people still pay attention to volume, but for me, I like more traffic value than volume, because volume can mislead. You know, when you have this metric volume, you can see, oh, million traffic, oh, I want to get it, but it doesn't mean that you can get this million that people are looking for. So can you tell your thoughts about blogging? Is it a good future for blogging or not, you know, according to AI search, what we have today?
No, I would still be blogging because you need to build topical authority. And a great way to build topical authority is having lots of pages that support the different topics that your services offer. If you just list out that you're a dentist and you do teeth whitening and you do root canals and cavities, that's great, but that's not enough for search engines to really think that you're an expert, like you're saying, EEAT, and having that topical authority, having lots of blogs that support that content. It could be blogs, written text, or it could be images or videos. I mean, it's a great way. So you could put content out on social, embed that onto your blog and pull that, extract some text and transcribe it or write a summary about it. But unfortunately, AI is taking away that traffic to your website, but Google's been doing that with since 2013, I think, when they had featured snippets where they'd give you the little answer box at the top, trying to give you the answer right there. You couldn't respond back and engage like you can with AI, but they've always been dropping traffic and slowly taking it away because they'd rather give you the answer right there. The search engine is there to give answers and hopefully to get you to click on ads too. So they also know when you're doing some of these basic searches, there's not many ads. If you're searching for like a celebrity's name or birthday, they'll pull that from Wikipedia, that schema, and they'll embed it in that featured snippet or the AI overview. And that's going to hopefully get you to then do another search, maybe of a movie that that celebrity was in. And then hopefully there's some ads there. You'll click on those ads and Google will make some money. But they're really trying to keep people on Google as long as possible, or whatever platform you're on, even social media. They're all trying to keep you there, because once you leave, they lost you. And that means they're losing out on revenue and anything to keep you on the sites longer. But it's just that balance. You got to understand that you're going to lose traffic, but your brand is going to be mentioned. Hopefully somebody reads that AI overview or that ChatGPT answer and says, okay, I saw Brandon. He answered this question. And then maybe they see you again in the future, and it builds your brand up and builds that recognition. But it is that double-edged sword where it's not the best in terms of losing that traffic. It's not something you want to have happen.
Yeah, nice, nice. And you said about creating topical authority. And can you tell how to create the right content plan to build this topical authority? Because what I usually see when webmasters take top funnel. Top funnel, when you compete with Wikipedia or any other websites, and when I ask why you create these topics, they usually tell because of topical authority. But do you think it's a good idea to take such topics that don't bring anything when you need to compete in SEO with big websites like Wikipedia or Reddit, I don't know, many other websites, but and you know that you can't sell even if you rank your content, let's imagine, in the top 10 or even position number one, it doesn't mean that you can sell. What do you think about creating the right content plan for topical authority?
Yeah, no, I would just, if it's going to help your main service page and your product pages or whatever main product pages that you're trying to target, it's going to help support those pages by having these sub pages that are about different subtopics, then I would say go for it. But you don't want to just go overboard and just create hundreds of pages. Focus on, like, look at the people also ask section, try to find like high search volume questions, or go to answer the public, or do some keyword research and figure out phrases that are commonly searched for that you can write content about it, and slowly build it out. Don't just dump a bunch of content out there just to throw it out there, because also that's not the best, quality over quantity for everything. And picking some good topics that you know are going to get you some traffic. And if you know that it's not going to get you sales directly, but you know it's going to help support your other page that's going to get you leads and sales, then I would say go for it. But overall, we just got to make sure that you show Google or whatever platform that you are an expert in this field, and you're not just throwing up a piece of content just to rank for that, but you have all the supporting content, blogs, people also ask, interviews, or whatever pieces of content that you could also see your competitors are putting out there that is helping them rank.
Yeah, but for example, let's imagine the topic, what is SEO? Yeah, so people who can read this article, I'm not sure they will buy SEO. They just want to know what SEO means. Probably someone can buy, I don't know. But it's like top funnel. So people know that SEO exists, and it helps to optimize websites for search engines. What do you think? Can you take this topic for your, for example, website, SEO optimizers, or not?
Yeah, that would be a good topic. What is SEO? Because I have to educate. A lot of people don't know what SEO is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All the time that contact me and say, I don't know what this is. I need more traffic. And how can I get more traffic? So educating. And also it's going to save you a lot of phone calls or meetings where people are trying to learn about this. I try to educate them on my website and have FAQ section for frequently asked questions. That way, hopefully they don't need to ask me those questions, add schema to that to try to mark it up and trying to enhance that. But yeah, sometimes I do have to keep it to the basics, even though I know it's not going to be the most valuable page in terms of ranking. But if this is going to save me from repeating that same question over and over again, I think it is. It's that balance. I think you have to optimize for Google and try to optimize for search engines. But also, like we were talking about earlier, people are number one, and making sure that they have a good user experience, they understand what you're offering. That way they don't just look at SEO and be like, what does this SEO mean? Why do I need SEO? Because even to this day, I still, maybe like 20% of the people that reach out to me don't really understand or know what SEO is. It's not like 2007 when I first started, where 99% of people didn't understand what SEO is. And then it was much more important. But nowadays, it's still important. Even what is AI could be something that could, or what is AI SEO or AI overviews or LLMs, and trying to merge it with the SEO aspect.
Yeah, and we have the question from Ali about Google Search Console. Should we need to add to Search Console? I think it's must have, you know, today. You know, you can't ignore this tool. Especially it's free. You don't need to pay for that. Just add your website. Google can understand your content better. You can submit your sitemap. You can check out your ranking positions. Many things you can do, even technical optimization on this tool. So it's a must have. What do you think about Search Console?
Yeah, no, definitely. You need Google Search Console. Bing Webmaster Tools is great as well. But any of these tools, Google Analytics is great to look at your overall traffic. But Search Console is very important for SEO, to look at technical issues, indexing, and just making sure, like you said, sitemap, looking at what keywords you're ranking for, what position you're in, and you could kind of look at historical data to see how your performance has been. They don't let you keep all that data. They delete it after, I think, 16 or 18 months because they don't really want us to do SEO. But any little hints or anything that they're going to give us, I would use it, because the more you're able to learn about your traffic and how your website is performing, the better you're going to be able to optimize it and try to just enhance those rankings.
Especially it's free. It's free. You don't need to pay. You know, you need to pay a lot for multifunctional tools, but this one is free and it links to Google directly. So you can learn what Google wants to get. By the way, what do you think about Microsoft Bing Webmaster Tool? So it's a free tool as well, but many still ignore this tool. And according to data, Bing is growing. I don't remember exactly, but someone shared on LinkedIn, probably Kevin Indig, that Bing grew plus 20% for 3 or 6 months, something like that. So the last time Microsoft can provide a good job to get more loyal audience. So what do you think about Bing Webmaster Tool?
Yeah, no, it's another free one, and it's going to give you insights into Bing, and we'll have to see if Bing is going to keep growing.
Yeah,
maybe, maybe not, but who knows. But anything to help you get more insights. And when I work at Fortune 500 companies and they're getting tens of thousands of visitors a day to the website, then Bing, even though when I look at analytics, Bing will bring about, like Google will bring like 20 to 60% of your traffic on average. Bing brings like 1%. Yahoo brings 1%, but 1% of tens of thousands of visitors is a lot. So if you're just a small startup and you're only getting 5 or 10 people or 50 people to your website or even 100 a day, 1% is not that much. But if you're getting 20,000 visitors, 50,000 visitors, then like, hey, this is low-hanging fruit that I could optimize for, it because a lot of people overlook Bing, thinking, hey, it's not where my audience is, but people are using it. Bing gets default set on a lot of platforms, and people are just using Bing, not realizing they're not using Google, thinking they're using Google. And so if you're getting that, I would look at analytics and see how much traffic you are getting. And if you are getting a decent amount of traffic from Bing, then go in there and optimize. But still, best practice, join Webmaster Tools for Bing, submit your website there, try to get it all indexed, all the pages shown with your sitemap and everything. That way you just get more visibility.
Yeah, nice, nice. Brendan, I want to ask a few tricky questions, especially about focusing. So we discussed a little bit, it's important to focus. And the last time I often see new terminology about SEO, like search everywhere optimization. Before that, that was search engines optimization. And today many people recommend to optimize your content and get traffic everywhere. In that way, you can lose focus. I mean, like when you focus on one specific direction, you can build your muscles on that. You can get experience. But if you need to repurpose everywhere, you can lose this focus. And especially I often see when someone can repurpose content to different social media just for the sake of having it. It's not like to engage with the audience. For example, if you create content for your website, then you repurpose to LinkedIn, to YouTube, to Facebook, to many other channels, but you can lose this focus. What do you think? How to don't lose focus, but optimize for search everywhere optimization?
I mean, you need to be where your audience is, and your audience isn't going to be everywhere. I mean, they might be if it's a very general topic, but in general, they're going to be in a few different places. And that's where you're trying to be everywhere, especially with social media. That's where it's easy to spread yourself thin, trying to be on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube and Pinterest and TikTok and everything else that keeps coming out. You're just like, where do I even start? And a lot of people just try to be everywhere, where it's best to focus on one platform or one search engine and really understand that one, master that. And then you can start working on, like, once you've figured out for social media, I've mastered Instagram, now I can start working on TikTok. But if you just try to do everything, it's going to be tough. And same with SEO. If you're trying to work on Google and ChatGPT, or if you're local in the US, Yelp is really big, try and rank out there, or try to optimize for YouTube, it's going to be tough. And trying to figure out, who really is my core audience? What platforms are they most active on? Let's focus on that first. Once you've started ranking and getting that traction, then, and have a system in place, then I'd say, all right, now you can replicate that to a different platform. And one by one, try to eventually get to everything. But if you do and if you have a team, if you're just a one person shop, you're gonna spread yourself way too thin, too quick. That's why I like to automate stuff with, like, Zapier and other tools like that could help with the posting and automation to save some time. But then the messaging kind of gets lost in translation, and it doesn't always work perfectly. But those tools will help save a lot of time. That way you're not trying to be everywhere, but you can kind of focus on a couple of main core platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Brandon, do you have any specific methods or technique to rank your content on ChatGPT or any other AI search, Perplexity, even Google AI mod? Did you change something from your strategy that work on Google, or just provide tips about that?
Still doing most of the same best practices. I mean, schema is very important, but always been putting schema on the website. But nowadays, it's even more so important to make sure you have good schema on all your pages, all your content. But and then just changing the keywords around a little bit more, trying to write more sentences. But I've been doing that for a while anyways, since Google's been looking more at the semantic web and trying to understand sentences and phrases, because with voice search, that really changed everything, where people are speaking into the phone and sentences are being asked instead of just putting keywords. So, like, traditional SEO is keywords. Like, if you're looking for a lawyer, best lawyer near me. But if you're on your phone or on AI, you might say, find me the best lawyer in Los Angeles. It's a whole different type of search, and trying to put sentences, answering those questions into your content. Look at the people also ask, but this is all stuff that I've been doing for a while. It's kind of SEO best practices. It's just now even more so with the schema. But in general, ChatGPT is really part of Microsoft, which is Bing. And as long as you're optimizing for Bing, which is pretty similar to Google's search requirements, you're not going to have too much difficulty. It's just following those best practices and just trying to expand a little bit more for people and less for robots.
Yeah, nice. And can you share what today is better not to do? I mean, like, what from your perspective is obsolete? I'm not talking about black hat SEO. Black hat is obsolete for me forever. But I mean, like, from white hat SEO, what you can ignore today?
I'm not sure what would be considered white hat or black hat, because it's that gray line, but as long as you're not doing anything spammy, like using ChatGPT to create 100 blog posts and posting all those blog posts on your website, not looking at them, not editing them, not tweaking them, that stuff. I mean, short-lived, and there's a lot of ways to get that short boost of traffic, but in the long run, I would just focus everything on quality over quantity, quality backlinks, quality content, and just making sure that you're doing the best practices and that your competitors are doing. So looking at your competition and trying to see what they are doing, because if someone is ranking on Google or the AI overviews or ChatGPT, we want to try to look at what they're doing, where they're being mentioned, those entities, but just try not to spam. That's the biggest thing, is trying to just focus on that quality.
Yeah, but I want to clarify a little bit more about that. I mean, like, for example, well-known technique, skyscraper technique from done by Brian Dean. It's I think like he created this technique plus 15 years ago when he started Backlinko. Today he sold this block to Semrush. What I see, many great experts told this technique is great. But what I see, many of these experts stopped doing this. I mean, like Neil Patel said that he stopped doing link building. Probably he can do it for other projects, not for his own blog. I know, for example, Ryan Stewart said about that he doesn't use link building. I tried myself to use this technique many times. We got some results, but what I see today, it's really tough to get results. It's really tough if you don't have personal connections. If you reach out to random people, you can find them on Ahrefs, Semrush. And when you reach out to them, it's like you can send plus 100 emails, well personalized, spend time, but even if you get one click, you can become lucky, you know, because it's really tough. I think like some techniques, some methods are obsolete today, and it's better to replace. For example, we usually give this task to link builders who have great connections, you know, so they spend this time, make their hands dirty, you know, to provide results, and we use digital PR. So can you tell what you think, today can bring low performance, where don't spend too much time?
Yeah, no, like you're saying, like those people that stop building backlinks, they all have brands. And if you don't have a brand, then it's not going to work, because Neil Patel, Rand, Moz, they all get mentioned tons of times, hundreds of times every day, probably thousands of times. They don't need to build a backlink because they're not able to replicate. They've already built that brand that people are talking about so much. Brian Dean, Backlinko, Ahrefs, anything, or even like a Target or a Walmart. Don't necessarily need to go out, still good to maintain it, clean up low quality backlinks, disavow weird ones. But general, I would say like a strategy that used to work that people still do is press releases through like low quality press release sites. Press releases, if done properly, are good, like real PR. But if you're just going through like PR Web, that used to work pretty well, or help out. But nowadays, I feel like those backlinks are just general news sites and they get deleted really quickly. And people still spend hundreds of dollars to submit through wires. And I'd say if you could build real personal relationships with journalists and get them to publish you, that's going to be much better than just paying a wire platform to get you some press release links or get some citations listed for local or get some entity listings, which they're okay, but quality is going to be much better than just getting those lower quality. But yeah, those old strategies like the skyscraper is a good strategy, and I used it in the past, and it's definitely a good strategy. But Google, I think Google's reading all this stuff. Google doesn't want you to do SEO. So anything where people are gaming the system or finding loopholes, Google's probably not going to want to keep that open. They're going to try to patch it up, like expired domains working really well in the past, doesn't work as well anymore, or PBNs. I would say definitely avoid those. But those used to work in the past. That's more black hat. But redirects, people would buy old expired domains, like your competitor goes out of business, buy their domain, 301 redirect it to your website, rebuild it, map out those pages. That used to work really well. Still has a little bit of value, I'd say, but not much as it used to in the past. And all those things, I'd say, are just tricks that are going to take a lot of time away from you actually just building good quality content that's going to track natural backlinks and track those entity building. And then you don't have to worry about going out and doing all these gray hat kind of areas.
I know Brandon, past Brandon, I know present Brandon, but I want to know about the future Brandon Leibovitz. Can you tell how you can see yourself in 5-10 years, because you started like 20 years ago before Facebook, so you have this great experience. But we still get a lot of articles mentions that SEO is dead, probably something can change, but then that was mentioned many times, probably when Google started that this quote became popular since then, and TikTok didn't kill, ChatGPT didn't kill SEO, so many updates didn't kill, we're still alive, we still have a lot of traffic. Google has today like plus 16 billion searches a day. It's a lot, and I think it's tough. Even if we can see decline, probably we can think about that. But for now, I only see that Google is growing traffic, you know. So, Brandon, can you tell your future? What you can see SEO and your future in 5-10 years?
Ever since I've been involved in SEO, back in 2007, they would say SEO is dead. So now that I hear that, back in 2007, I was like, is it dead? Because I just started. I didn't know much about it back then. So I was like a little nervous. I was worried like 2007, 8, 9. I was like, is this going to fade away? But after I see it being repeated over and over again, I realized that it's not true. And maybe it is Google spreading that rumor, trying to scare people. Because why does Google doesn't want you to do SEO? That takes away from their ad revenue. Or it's other people that do SEO trying to scare people away from joining, dropping that competition down. But yeah, we'll have to see what the future holds. As long as people are still searching, then I'd say there's SEO. But if we're not searching anymore and we're just giving answers somehow, then I'd be a little worried. But yeah, I don't know. It's just very dynamic right now, especially nowadays, the past couple of years, much more dynamic than the 15 years before that I was involved with SEO. It's been kind of Google just runs the show. Now it's just throwing a curveball with AI, and we're going to have to see what in the dust settles. What's going to happen? Is Google still going to be at the top with their AI overviews, or is ChatGPT going to take over, or is ChatGPT just going to be more for content? We're going to have to figure it all out. But right now, I would say in the future, just doing something with digital, whether it's helping out with SEO or just making sure, or PR or some sort of marketing. But we'll have to see what that future holds in store.
Awesome. Brandon, it's a big pleasure to get back on my show. So welcome back anytime to share more valuable bombs. I hope still humans can have this show, but we'll see probably like in 5 years to AI agents can speak on this podcast, you know, but for now still humans. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah, so anyone that wants to learn more, I created a special gift for everybody. If you go to my website at seooptimizers.com/gift, that's seooptimizers.com/gift. And they can find that there along with my contact information and a bunch of classes I've done over the years. I've thrown up for free so you can see step-by-step how to do a lot of stuff that we talked about today.
Awesome. Guys, I'll provide the link in the description below. So, and I'll share this link in our LinkedIn event. So you can take this link, please. If you open this link, just let Brandon know that you found this information in our podcast. It's a big pleasure. Thank you so much. You know, always valuable. I love this experience to get more skills, especially from people with such huge experience. Guys, I recommend to anyone to follow Brandon on social media, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, and open his website to learn more, because you can see that things are changing fast. We need to adapt fast and to get results. Okay, guys, love you. See you.
Thanks for having me on.